We're learning the 17th chapter in Sefer Shmuel, Perek Yud Zayin. We're up to Pasuk Chaf, which is on page 110. Last week we began this chapter discussing the famous story of Goliath, or Goliath, this huge guy which we have many psukim discussing all of the armor that he wore. Very impressive, almost impossible to possibly penetrate to be able to defeat this guy. Goliath, who was a man in which the Navi calls an Ish Habeinayim, a man in between, a go-between. The reason for this was because he justified, instead of fighting thousands of Jewish soldiers, and there'll be a lot of bloodshed, thousands of Philistines waging war with one another, he said, listen, I'm one guy, you pick one guy, and whoever wins, well, that'll be it. We'll save a lot of bloodshed that way. Obviously, the fact that Goliath said this, it showed a tremendous confidence in his abilities as a warrior. And all the Jewish people knew this, and no one was willing to stand up against him. And that's what it's going to be really brought forward in this next pasuk, the first pasuk we're going to see today, again, verse 20, pasuk chaf, that no one was willing to stand up against him, and he blasphemed God, and he was nasty, and he was very insulting and degrading to the Jewish people. So the pasuk tells us, on top of page 110, V'yashkim David baboker, we find David, who of course is going to be the one who will eventually stand up against this man, this giant. He arose in the morning, Vayitosh as son, Vayitosh as Masudah Sion translates, as Va'azov, he had forsaken, as he left behind his sheep, because he was a shepherd, that was his profession. Al Shomer, he didn't leave them alone, but he hired a watchman to take care of his flock for him. Vayisav Yeloch got up and he went. Kasher Sivahu Yishai, just as Yishai, his father, had instructed him to do. Because we left off last week that his father wanted him to go to the three of his older brothers that were actually involved in this war to do a couple things, to bring some food. There was also some commentators to actually to retrieve a divorce document, a get from them, so that in the case that they would die in battle and they wouldn't know, there would be no witnesses to be able to testify that they had died, that their wives would not be left as what's called an aguna, rather they can get remarried. But either way, that he went only kasher tzivahu Yishai, only because his father told him to do so. He was willing to listen to his father's bidding, whatever he'd want him to do. Biyabu Hamagala, and he went to this area, this encirclement, which we'll discuss in the Mesudas David in a moment. V'chayil hayotze el amaracha, as well as to the army that was going forth to the battlefield. V'hareyo v'melchama, and he was able to hear the tremendous cries of war, the battle cries. So we look at the Mesudas David, which the Radak also is similar to this, and I didn't underline this, but nonetheless, where it says there's two Mesudas David, one which we kind of already saw in Mesudas Sion, of Vayitosh, is Azah Hatzon, Al Shomer Echad, that he had left his sheep by guardsmen, someone to take care of them, was Shomer Adbo, to take care of his animals until they went. And then the next, we jump to the next Mesudas David, Hamagala, which is literally means a circle. What do you mean? He went to a bunch of circles. He went to a geometry class. No, he hamachana. This is actually the way that the machana was formed. It was formed in a circle, kind of as we find in the Old West when you have the cowboys fighting. They take their wagons. They put them in a circle. And the Mesudas David says, "What's the reason for this?" Shedarka alchanos ba'agol. It was the custom that when they were in camp, getting ready for war, they would make a circle a defensive wagon circle. Ki tovu liyos nishmar mir ohev mitzavi, because it's an easier, better way to be able to protect it from your enemies from all around. Because this way they won't be able to sneak up on you. You'll have your defenses on all sides, and that's the significance, the defensive strategy of the famous wagon circle. And that's what happened also over here. So that's what he did. He went to the Magala, which is how they encamped, and afterwards, so that they wouldn't be able to infiltrate into the actual where they're encamped, they would send out soldiers to the battlefield. And we're going to see that as he was looking, his whole purpose was not to fight anyone. He didn't know what was going on. He was only going because his father told him to go. But he's going to try to find his brothers, as we'll now see in the next couple of sentences. Pasuk Kapal. But Taroch Yisrael Uflishtim Maracha Likras Maracha. So as we can imagine, the beginning of the war, that the Jewish people, the Israel and the Plishtim, were coming face to face on the battlefield. But Yitosh David as Hakelim, the same word as we saw previously, Yitosh, that he had forsaken, he left behind the Kalim, may Allah have all the vessels that were with him, all the different things that he was planning on giving to his brothers. He gave them Al Yad Shomer Hakelim. He gave it to the person who's the Shomer Kalim, one who watches these things. V'yaretz Hamaracha, and he ran toward the battlefield because he knew that he would only have possibly minutes, if not seconds, until the potential of his brothers would have fallen in battle, and therefore he wanted to fulfill his father's word. So he ran into the battlefield. V'yavo, and he came v'yishol echav l'shalom, and he went there. And he asked the welfare of his brothers, how they were doing. So if we look in the Radak over here tells us, just toward the bottom, the Shomer HaKalim, which is the second medium-sized line, is Shahaya Shomer Kli Anshei Hamachana Bigdehem Vasheri Mahem. This is a lucky guy. He didn't actually have to fight in war. All he had to do was take care of all the possessions and personal belongings of the people that left these things in the machane, in the camp, their clothes and anything else that belonged to them. So he left all of his things behind. He left his animals behind in a different city, and now he leaves his other belongings that goes to his brothers behind, because after all, it would be too cumbersome and too heavy for him to be running into the battlefield with all these things. So he didn't have anything on him. He was running in basically empty-handed. And he asked his brothers, how are you doing? How are things? Pasuk of Gimel. V'hu medaber imam, and he was speaking with them. V'hine ish habinayim ole goyos. And there was this person, the ish habinayim, which, as we've said before, is this go-between man, one who doesn't care that there's a people on one side and the other army on this side. He'll walk right in the middle. He has no fear. And his name was Goliath, or Goliath, who was the Philistine. Shemo, that was his name, Igas, from this place. Memorachos Pelishtim, he came from the battlefield among the Philistines. V'yadaber k'davar mo'elan, he spoke the way that he spoke before, in a very arrogant manner to the Jewish people. V'yishma David, this is the first time that David was able to hear how arrogant and inappropriate the words from Goliath were. And the question is, when we study and we read Tehillim, this is a major episode in David HaMelech's life, because this, well, he's not HaMelech yet. He didn't get the last name. He's just David. But obviously, this whole episode of Goliath, and of course, without spoiling the story for you, most of us know he ends up getting killed. David kills him. We don't find anywhere the name of Goliath HaPelishti in Tehillim. But some actually say in the ninth capital of Tehillim, which is the first sentence, is Lamnatseach Almus Labein Mizmo David. That's the ninth, it's a paragraph test. And that's the first sentence, it's the first pasuk in Tehillim, that Hashem is praising Almus on the death of Labein. The question is, if we look throughout Tanakh, do we have a person by the name of Labain? Well, we have a Lavan, which sounds the same letters, but we don't find anyone by the name of Labain. But if we look at the word Labain, it's very similar to what this gentleman, who's not so gentle, was called. He was called Ish HaBeinayim. So therefore, in Tehillim, this capital test, some of the Mefarshim explain that this is actually talking about the death of Goliath. Lamnatzech Amus Labein, who was the person who was in between the two armies, that was the Mizmor LeDavid. That was the prayer and the praise that David HaMelech gave in his downfall. Okay, so that's perhaps next time we see that capital, we can be reminded of this story. The pasuk continues with pasuk of Dalet. V'chol ish Yisrael, and all the Jewish people, berosam es ish, anytime they would see this man, this powerful, huge giant from the Philistines, what would they do? Would they go over to him and say, hi, how you doing? Let's have a cup of coffee. Let's go to Starbucks together. No, v'yanusim yipadav v'yir ma'od. They would flee away from him, and they would be so scared from him. They were petrified. So much so that no one was willing to accept this challenge and be willing to save the lives of thousands, that the entire Jewish army decided that, you know, we're all going to have to fight because the chances of us winning one against one is impossible. So therefore, we're willing to, all of us, fight this war against all the Philistines, realizing the potential of thousands of lives that are going to be lost because there's no way we can defeat this guy. They were extremely, extremely scared from him. Let's continue with the next pasuk. We had the Rashi and pasuk of Gimel, which we skipped over because we really talked about it last week, which talked about Goliath's origin, that he actually is from the mother of Arpah, which we know from the story of Ruth, and that's this. Rashi brings that down, which we discussed how Arpah ended up going astray. And he ended up being the product of her going astray. Pasuk of Hey, v'yomer ish Yisrael. So this man of Israel said, Harisem ha'isha ola hazeh. Did anyone see this man? Kilcharef as Yisrael ola. You see what he's doing? He's going and he's speaking disgracefully against the Jewish people. And you should know, this is what people were saying. David wasn't saying this, but this is the word of the town. This is what was printed in all the tabloids there. It said, any person that kills this huge guy, as impossible as it is, if you can somehow figure out a way to kill him, you're going to be winning the Powerball. You're going to be a wealthy guy. The king's going to make you wealth with Osher Gadol, tremendous wealth, great wealth. Not only that, if you think that's not enough, I'll throw in for the same price, Vezbito Yitin Lo. He will also give over his daughter in marriage. V'es Beis Aviv Yaseh Chafshi B'Yisrael. And also the house of your father, he will make free to Israel. As Rashi says on the very bottom of this page, Midvarim Hamurim B'Mishpatei Amlucha. All the different rules and regulations which generally are incumbent upon any citizen to have to follow, anyone who is related to the person who kills Goliath doesn't have to follow them, which means there's no more taxes, nothing. You're going to be living large.
But who is the authority to make this kind of statement? I know it said they, but it was from the king.
Yeah, the king himself.
He himself said?
Yeah.
They're quoting. It doesn't really sound. They're not quoting that here that the king is saying it, but it's self understood that that's what it means, that the king is the one that gave this deal.
Well, the king said he would give his daughter, and I guess this came along with the package.
It was apparently the simple reading of this pasuk is that everyone understood that that this was a guarantee.
Here it says in pasuk Kafei, the king will enrich whoever kills him with great wealth and give his daughter to him in marriage, and he will free his father's family from royal service in Israel.
Right, but it doesn't that pasuk doesn't actually say that the king said this. but it's self-understood that it must be, that if they're saying that they're getting all these things, probably Shaul did make this announcement, that otherwise, how could they people be saying this? But that's what it says, that the whole Ish Yisrael, the Yomer Ish Yisrael, that's what people were saying. So obviously, they must have heard it from a good source, hopefully from the king. So that is a good point, that we don't find that the king actually announced it, but apparently it was made known that that was the wish of the king, which actually, as we mentioned before, that that's actually not a very smart move on the king's part. The Gemara actually discusses three people that made certain requests or said things which were inappropriate. One, which going in order, is the story of Eliezer. Eliezer, by the well, he said, any woman that gives the water, you know, for the camels and all that business, then that's going to be a woman who's going to be fit to marry Yitzchak. Okay? So the Gemara asks, says, what do you mean? Just because someone does that, maybe it might be someone who's not fit. Maybe if you look at her family background, maybe she's not someone befitting to marry Yitzchak. Maybe she was just bored and she decided to give some water that day, but she's really a nasty woman. That's one of the problems. That's one of the three places. Also, the Talmud says this is the second place where we find that this was wrong, because the king shouldn't have said, anyone can marry my daughter. Because you can imagine, who's going to win this battle? Could be any guy, some Schwarzenegger, some guy, whatever, some guy who's just strong. Doesn't mean he's a good guy. Right, the third one is Yiftach, exactly. Yiftach, who said that if I'm victorious in this battle, the first thing that comes over my door, my door, by my lintel, will be a sacrifice. So all three of them, obviously there were certain results. The first two turned out okay for those people. The first one, of course, Eliezer found Rivka, who was a great match for Yitzchak. Also over here, David, who is a very worthy individual, is the one who stood up and defeats Goliath. So he was lucky, if you can say it that way. But when by Yiftach, his daughter is the one that walked through the door, which caused, obviously, problems. Commentators discussed exactly what he had to do for his daughter. Didn't actually kill her. She wasn't married, the whole thing. So the Mefarshim asked, well, why was it so that if all three made a mistake, so why were two of them okay, and you know and they all lived happily ever after, but the third one was a problem? So if you look at the... There is a little bit of a difference. When it came to Yiftach, he was completely wrong, right? There was no justification, because anything could have walked out of his house.
And he refused to go and ask for it to be annulled, the vow. He refused
right.
to go to the Kohen or whoever it was, the Basin.
Right. That's also correct. But the incident itself also was completely incorrect. When it comes to the story of Eliezer, even though potentially someone who is not befitting to marry Rivka, to marry Yitzchak, but the reality is, it shows that she's a Baal Chesed, she's a kind person, so it's something, you know, at least there's some logic behind it. So to overhear in our story, even though it could have been some, you know, violent guy who was not fit to marry the king's daughter, but the reality is, as we are understanding the story, it was impossible to defeat this man, to defeat Goliath, because he was so incredibly strong. So much, exactly, it must have been, exactly, that's perhaps the idea, that the only way a person could win is l'mal min hateva, an actual miracle. And therefore, the person who is able to be the vehicle in which a miracle can be performed, obviously is righteous enough to marry my daughter. So that's how some explain the logic in that. Okay, but whichever way we look at it, it is certainly a good question, because we don't necessarily find the king saying it directly, but between the lines, that's how it's inferred that must be what happened. Okay. Pasuk Chaf Vav. We're up to verse 26. So this is what people are hearing. Now, David was a young guy. We're going to see he's 29 years old, which he's not too young, but he is very inexperienced as far as battle is concerned. He never fought, because he had older siblings that were involved in war. And there was only three children at the most that were required to have to fight per family. So he didn't have to fight. He had his older brothers do that job for him. He took care of the sheep. So David never knew anything about battle. And David also was the first time that he heard about this great deal, become rich fast. So the pasuk continues and says, "Vayomer David el hanashim ha'omdim mimos." So David was standing against, next to a bunch of other people. He didn't yet speak to his brothers, but he decided first to ask the question to the people standing next to him. Lemor, he said, "What was the reward again for hitting this guy and killing this Philistine? To be able to remove the disgrace that he's causing the Jewish people, the embarrassment that he's causing. Because who is this Philistine who's an Orel, who's the uncircumcised Plishti? That he's disgracing our Elohim Chaim, our living God. So the Mepharshim asks, well, what do you mean? Perhaps the pasuk before, people were discussing it, but David didn't hear it. So David is now about to learn the reward, which the next pasuk tells us, pasuk of Zion, "Biyomer lo'am kedavar hazeh le'mor," that they were saying, "Koyasel ish asher yakenu." This is the reward, money, everything. Yes, that's one interpretation. We'll see a couple more in a second. Yes.
See what David here says the opposite of what you just said.
Correct.
You said maybe he didn't hear.
Here, right.
This guy says, Ah, Shekhar Shema. He already heard it, but he's just reviewing it to make sure before I do this, I
want
to make sure what I'm
going to do. Excellent. Very good. So let's see that. The Masudas David tells us, right, a different interpretation. That he did know before, so why is he asking again?
He
keeps asking.
Hear.
Right. So Ah, Shekhar Shema, says the Masudas David, Chazar Shol, he kept asking, we're going to see he's going to ask another time, L'hachnas b'dvarim v'lo mishu yelich, to be able to enter these into this matter, the situation, and eventually to show that he is going to go. But some also explain, based on the Masudas David, as he was trying to incite people to try to get them upset at what this Philistine said. And not only was he trying to pick a fight, but he was doing it in a disgraceful manner. He was humiliating God. He was basically saying, yeah, your God doesn't exist, he's not powerful. And he says, what are you talking about? We have an Elohim Chaim, we have a living God. And therefore, he was hoping that it would either cause a ruckus that people would say, well, who is this young guy over here? Maybe he's the one that should fight, which is ultimately what will happen. We'll see. Or, as the Masudas David seems to imply, he already knew about it, but he kept saying it over because people didn't even want to talk about it. They were so scared. And therefore, he was hoping it would incite people to want to fight against this giant. So that's another approach. Mepharshim explained furthermore that certainly when he was asking this question, he wasn't trying to figure out, you know, he wants to know what's his French benefits, he wants to know, you know, what's my retirement package. That's what he's asking, right? He said, well, what's the reward again? I have to weigh out the risks versus the returns. You know, is this a good...
He wanted to become king. Right. He knew he was going to become king, so that's a good way to become king.
By marrying
his daughter. That's a good answer. Very good. So some explain, in the event that he wouldn't fight, he was obviously not interested in only him in the money necessarily, because he should only be concerned as a tzaddik of the chil Hashem, the disgrace that is being caused by God. He's disgracing God's name. That's what this Goliath was doing. So again, that's how some explain that it wasn't even necessarily he was trying to fight him. He was hoping to encourage other people who might have other motivations, monetary motivations, different things of that nature, that would be enough of a reason for them to want to fight. But certainly right, for himself, this would be a very good way for him to be able to get in with the king. I mean, we already know that he was already in the palace. He's already been, because of the melancholy, because of the ruach ra, which was in Shaul, the difficult pain that he was having mentally, he had to have someone come in to play a very soothing musical instrument, the harp, which was what David was doing. David was already in the palace. David already had some type of relationship with Shaul. Shaul actually already, Sukkim told us in the previous chapter, loved him. And he was considered his bearer of his arms. He used to take care of him and he used to hold his weaponry for him. So David already had a relationship, as we're going to see now. Of course, this will further that relationship. Okay. So very good. That is another interpretation as brought down by Mr. David. All right.
To say that he was very brave because he did have a relationship and he would have become king without putting himself in danger.
Right.
No. So that makes him, he's going to become king.
He was already in. He was already anointed.
Shaul would have liked it because he liked him.
Right.
In two ways that he was indeed the king. So besides having an assured thing.
Right.
But there's another question.
But he would have made him king.
Because at this point, he was already anointed by the prophet.
Yeah, but nobody else knew that except
Shaul. God probably knew it too, right? So, the question is if he even needed to do this.
Goliath hadn't been defeated.
Okay. All right, let's continue with the next pasuk, which is on the top of page 112. Pasuk of Ches. So, here was David, a guy who wasn't even fighting, didn't go through basic training, nothing, and here he's trying to start rallying the troops, and perhaps himself. And his brother, his big brother, as many older siblings try to protect their younger brothers and sisters, overheard what was going on, and it bothered him very much, to say the least. That's what Pasuk Chaf Ches addresses. V'yishma Eliav, who was Achav HaGadol, the big brother, we already know that he was the oldest, but it could also show that, as we're going to see, what he says to David, he's trying to protect him because he doesn't want him to die, and he knows he's tremendously inexperienced in the battlefield. B'dabru el anashim, Eliyahu heard that his brother was speaking to all these soldiers. V'yichar af Eliyahu b'David, and Eliyahu was very angry at his younger brother. He was furious. The younger, and he said, "Lamazay Yeranta, what is this business that you came down here? Why are you here?" Yeah, of course, his father, he didn't know that his father, Yishai, their father, told him to come. V'almin natashta ma'atatzon, ha'hena b'midbar. How could you have done this? You've left all these beautiful sheep in the midbar, in the wilderness, as the Mesudas David tells us. There's thieves there. There's wild animals. You're gonna get back there. They're gonna be destroyed. Your job is not to be in the battlefield. Your job is to take care of the property and the sheep at home. So what are you doing here? You got really upset. Ani yadati, I know. And generally, when a person gets angry, that's all a person can only think of is themselves, and they're unable to listen to any other opinion. And they jump to a conclusion. Therefore, they say, I know the answer. Ani yadati as I know all of the zadon, the things that you're trying to do on purpose, and the evil in your heart. Because the reason why you came down here is to ra'os ha'melchama, literally to see the war, the battle. That's the purpose of you coming down to this battlefield. We'll discuss that in a moment. So we continue with the words of the Radak. The Radak over here, which is the very top of the page on 112, the first Radak, Vayichar Af Eliyahu. So the Radak tells us that he was, what does it mean he was extremely angry? Ki haven, because he understood. Ki ratzon David hayal hilachim im haplishti. He knew his brother. He knew him really well. And he understood the reason why he was doing all this business was not trying to encourage other soldiers to fight against Goliath. He knew that David, his youngest little brother, was going to want to fight against him himself. It was very far in his eyes. There's no way. My little brother, I'm much stronger than David. I'm Eliab. I'm a powerful, experienced warrior. And I'm not going to want to fight Goliath. So this little kid, this young David, inexperienced in battle, he will have no chance in winning. That's the reason why he got extremely angry at him. So we see the greatness of Eliab. That Eliab was extremely protective of his brother. He didn't want his brother to get hurt on the battlefield. And therefore, the reason why he was seemingly falsely accusing his brother, saying, what are you doing here? You have no right to be here. You're going to end up, you watch out for the sheep. He was really trying to tell him to leave, just to go back home. And
why did he refer to it as evil? I mean, one's already there.
Yeah, go ahead.
Also, why did David have some kind of ruach kodesh at this time? Because he wasn't going to that building.
He did have a ruach gevura, some type of spirit of strength, of power, within him, which some explain was some type of ruach kodesh that he understood. Obviously, he wasn't delusional. You know, he realized that this guy was much stronger and much taller and much more experienced in war than he. But he understood with his Ruach HaKodesh he could defeat him. And more than that, some explain that because he degraded the Jewish people and Hashem, he's considered as a Rasha. And a Rasha is considered like he's good as dead. He's like a dead man walking. So therefore he said to kill such a person is no big deal. He's already dead. So therefore, it was an easy thing to do. But it's an incredible statement that the Radak really twists around the words of this story, and says that the reality is that Eliyahu was looking out with the greatest of intentions for his brother. But if you remember, when Yishai lined up all of his children, he first said, "This is the son. My son's Eliyahu. He's definitely going to be the king." What? And he says, but the Yishai said, "This is definitely going to be the king." And he said, "Absolutely not. The prophet Shmuel said this cannot be the king." And when he went through all of them, he said that he can't be the king, he can't be the king. But when the Pasuk talked about Eliyahu, it says, "Kim astihu," that he is being rejected by God, which is like a very negative connotation, like he did something really wrong. So Rashi over there, remember the previous chapter, said it's because he easily got angered. And it actually brings this pasuk to support that he was someone who easily got angered. And that's not someone you want a leader. You don't want a leader who works and makes decisions based on emotion. You want someone who is intellectual decisions, is able to first be calm and then understand all the details, then make their decision. Not someone who's angry.
And that's why I say,
well, the question is, based on the Radak sounds like he did nothing wrong. In fact, he did a terrific thing to care and look out for what's the best interest of his brother. So to answer this, and it's not brought down a bit here, reminds me of the very beginning of the Sefer Shmuel, which was the story of Penina, that we found by Penina that she also spoke in a very negative way to Chana. "I have all these children, I have 10 kids, you have no kids, I'm sorry." And she used to make fun of her and hurt her feelings. And the Mepharshim say she did it with Shem Shemayim for the sake of heaven, she was punished anyway. So Rav Chaim Shmulevitz asks, where's the justification? If the person had the right intentions, so why are they being punished? So Rav Chaim Shmulevitz beautifully, as we explained numerous occasions, explains that if you have a child that sees a glowing flame on a stove, which is a nice fire, and the child sticks their hand in front of it, the child's hand will get burned. Even though the child did not intend to get burned, the reality is it's a natural reaction. He said that's the same thing. It doesn't make a difference if you have the greatest of intentions, but if you say something which could be interpreted by the other person as hurtful, as painful, then you will be punished based on their perception of what you said, not on what you actually, your intentions were. And therefore, Penina was punished, even though it was Hashem Shemayim. And so too, perhaps, according to the Radak, even though Eliyahu, his anger was not real anger. He was only doing it to try to teach that person a lesson, teach the child a lesson, teach the David a lesson. Nonetheless, he was punished. All right, so therefore, because of this, he says, you shouldn't be on the battlefield. What are you doing here? And because of this, ultimately, he lost the opportunity, the ability of remaining the king. All right, we're going to stop here.